It is well accepted that Jaws is an all-time great film, but its progeny don't rank nearly as high. Two True Freaks is proud to present Is It Jaws, where Paul Spitero and Sean Whalen are joined by an all-star list of guest hosts to review old and new films and place them on the Jaws scale, where they're ranked from Jaws to Jaws 4. Of course, for the purposes of the show, that scale does take some liberties with their actual ratings. Sure, movies that are given the ranking of Jaws are considered classic films with few flaws, if any. A ranking of Jaws 2 indicates that the film is very good and worthy of repeated viewings. A Jaws 3 ranking indicates the film was okay, but that's all. A Jaws 4 means it's ranked as a bad movie. Oh, and if you ever saw Back to the Future Part 2, you know that there's a Jaws 19. That ranking indicates that the movie is so incredibly bad that it's actually fun to watch as a result. So please join Paul and Sean as they ask the ever-important question, is it Jaws?
Hey, I was just touching base to see when you think you might be coming back. You know, I'm just worried that you're not going to find your stride here if you keep going off-world all the time, Kara. I'm worried you're not going to find your people.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, Clark. I have no people. Home is wherever you are, buddy.
As I walk this land of growth,
Crypto and I at least had each other. I have visions of honestly, I thought we were lucky. But luck almost by definition runs out.
Crypto!
What can I do?
The Brigands carry the antidote on that person. He has 3 days.
You cannot give up on me.
It's Krem of the Yellow Hills. He murdered my innocent family.
Just do what I say. And don't die. This does not look like this is gonna end well for you guys.
Stop. You're hurting my head.
Now what becomes of the world is haunted. Who had known that now departed?
Revenge. It won't take your pain away.
Your eyes are beautiful when you cry. A lot of pain, huh? A lot of suffering.
There is no home without you, buddy.
The debts from that dive bar.
Funny. That's what I've been calling you.
Touché.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Is It Yours? I'm Paul Spitero, and I am joined by a veritable gaggle of Supergirl watchers, including Mr. Sean Whalen.
I'm glad to be part of the gaggle.
That's, you're always gaggling away. And we have Mr. David Pascarella.
How's it going?
It's going good. Glad you could make it. Mr. Jim Segulin joins us today.
How's it going, eh?
And we have Mr. Logan Gardner.
Just me again.
And yeah, that's it, right? That's everybody?
Seriously?
Well, apparently, Scott Gardner begged Logan to let him come along. And in order to get Logan on the show, we had to agree to let Scott on.
We're a package deal.
Thank you otherwise, for having me.
Otherwise, he's going to disinherit you. So, we're here today to take a look at the new Supergirl movie. And as is often the case with a new movie like this, I've only had a chance to see it once. I do like when we do a review to have seen it at least once as a viewer and once as a critic, so to speak. But, you know, I'm cheap and I wasn't going to go to the movies twice. Sorry. So, in a nutshell, I was a little underwhelmed by this. It's not that I thought it was a bad movie. I thought it was enjoyable. I didn't walk out of this saying, oh, that was 2 hours of my life. I'm never getting back. I enjoyed watching it. And I would say there's a chance, you know, if it's on down the line, I'm going to watch it a second time. In fact, not only a chance, there's a likelihood I'll watch it a second time. But I didn't think it was great. I thought there were a lot of things that kind of fell short of what this could have been for me. And I guess we'll talk about those things because I think I may be alone in that opinion. Sean, what's your initial thought?
I was whelmed by the film. I've actually seen it twice. I don't know if anybody else did, but I actually got a chance to see it twice and really enjoyed seeing it two times. I read the original work, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, and I liked it a great deal. This was, I thought, a really good adaptation. My worry on this one was compressing it, because there's a journey that goes on with Supergirl in this. And I think if you're not, for me, I needed the journey for this character, because of where she was left at the end of Superman. I needed to see her go somewhere in this, and they fit a lot into this film. And which we'll talk about it along the way, but it's going to be an interesting one to talk about, because I think we may all potentially all be in some different places with this.
What'd you think, Dave?
I also read the original comics, and I think it was a fair, somewhat adaption of it. I'm not a big fan on the superhero and out of space. You know, like when Hal Jordan got kicked off of Earth back in the early 80s and spent all that time in space. I felt that, you know, a space story, it could have been any character. Supergirl, I kind of wanted to see in an Earth environment, you know, maybe more the fish out of water trying to adapt to life on Earth. So I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying for me personally, it wasn't my thing. On the other hand, I'll say the kids loved it. You know, this, I think, was a movie for them because they came out speaking very highly of it.
Okay, and just to be clear, when you say kids, we're still talking about your daughters who are in their 20s now. We're not talking about like 5-year-olds.
No, but they'll always be children to me. 23 and 20.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, it's a different age group from us, but I think almost they might find it offensive if we call them kids. Jim, what was your impression?
I actually love this movie. You know, I really digged the original comic. I loved. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. It was one of those, you know, series that I was like, oh, this is great. You know, and then I was worried going into the movie, wondering how they were going to do an adaptation, because I loved the original so much. And I walked out saying, this is awesome. I was hooping and hollering, cheering throughout it. And it's funny, you talk about just like with age stuff and all that, you know, younger people appreciating it. My much, much, much older brother was in the same boat as I am. He walked out of that same thing, kind of loving it. So I don't know if this is an age thing, because my much older brother, you know, loved that as well.
His brother's gonna kill him for that too.
I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking I should keep my mouth shut, because your much, much, much older brother is probably younger than me. Yeah. Logan, what's your initial thoughts?
I liked it. Trying to compare it to Superman, like, my expectations might have been higher, and compared to that, it might have underwhelmed me. But that's not to say that I didn't enjoy it. There were definitely parts that I enjoyed quite a bit. The only real complaints I have about it are nitpicks at most.
And Scott.
I went into this movie with very, very low expectations. The night before that Logan and I went to see it, we rewatched Superman. And each time we watched that, we both have said that we just like it better and better every time. But my least favorite part of that movie is the Supergirl cameo at the end, especially, you know, her parting line to Superman himself. You know, thanks for watching my dog. I didn't like that characterization, and it really grated on me. So I went into this movie not really expecting much and was very pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed it a lot. And I think a lot of it had to do with, as Sean said, you know, the journey. That we see her, we see her origin. And I mean, the origin I thought was spectacularly well done for one of the sillier aspects of Superman's Silver Age, you know, Argo City, surviving the destruction of Krypton. I thought the way they pulled it off in the movie, it was one of those things akin to like the helicarrier in the Avengers, where you never really thought that that would work, and it totally worked. So, I found a lot to love in this movie. I really did. I enjoyed it a lot, and we both want to go see it again. So hopefully that says something right there.
You mentioned the Argo stuff, and that was pretty critical for me because I needed, if they're going to do the origin of Supergirl, I needed to see what was different from her journey than Superman's. And I thought they did a really good job of the Argo bits. I didn't expect they were going to have time for that and the depth that they did with it. And I thought that stuff was really good, because you got to believe that she's got to have a, whether you like it or not, the journey with her is she starts off this movie and ended the last movie with a chip on her shoulder. And that's part of what her drinking's coming from and things like that. And the Argo stuff, it sets the stage for why, what she's dealing with. She doesn't fit in on Earth and all those pieces. So if you don't see her at some point in time where like she was this nice kid on Argo, it starts to become very, very hard to like her. Cause
right.
At the end of Superman, I actually agree with you. I knew like where they were going with this character, but I did not love her at the end of that movie. I was hoping that this movie would be that journey, and the Argo stuff I really enjoyed. I love seeing any of the Kryptonian history, and I would love to see more of that in the films along the way. I don't need to see, you know, to be the entire film, but man, they gave it a decent amount of screen time, and that part I really liked.
See, the hardship of her life for me is so crucial to this attitude and her over drinking. You know, you think, you know, look at people who do have drinking problems. A lot of times there is some hardship, some external factor that is driving it, you know, and she's got a solid drinking problem, and we're seeing why she has it, and it makes sense. And it's one of those things where that's one of the things I loved about her characterization. At the end of the Superman, I was like, ah, okay, I knew they were going with the, you know, the story, so I didn't think too much of it. But then when we dive into the movie and they really start showing you why she is this way, I'm like, it worked even better. It made me actually really enjoy and lock into her as a character and what she was doing. It was one of the things that I loved, how they showed us her hardship.
See, I have to say, for me, the Argo City part and her origin was the highlight of the movie. I thought that was the best thing in there. I really, really liked the Superman movie. But my biggest, not complaint, because I didn't think it was bad, but my biggest discomfort with it was basically turning Jor-El and Lara into not so good people. Because I always kind of picture them as you know, kind of a paradigm of goodness. So that didn't always sit all that well with me. And then to show the fact that his brother was the opposite, his brother is sending her to Earth to do good and kind of drilling it into her head to be a positive influence and to help people, that helped to fix that for me a little bit. I liked that it, you know, presented a counter. And I just thought that whole storyline was well done in this. That was probably the highlight of the movie for me. another positive to me, I'm going to just kind of give some positives before I go too far. I liked the way Lobo was in the movie. I thought he was portrayed well. I think he was a little wasted, because if you cut him out of the movie, it wouldn't affect the story at all. So I think you could have made him a little bit more integral. I heard somebody saying something to the effect that it would have been cool when she was saying, you can't kill, what's his name, Krem, if Lobo had just walked up and said, yeah, I can, and he shoots him in the head, and that's how he goes. I think that would have been giving him a purpose in the movie that he didn't actually have. I would have liked to have seen him have a little bit more of a purpose, but I thought he kind of, as expected, chewed up the scenery when he was on the screen, and I thought it was really cool. So those are my positives. Those are the things I really enjoyed in it. On the negative side, I'm not too fond of the badass portrayal of Supergirl. In my mind, and I don't mean to be a gatekeeper, so it has to be my version or it's no good. But in my mind, Superman is the big Boy Scout, and Supergirl comes to Earth later, younger, and is even more naive and trusting than he is. And he's got to actually be the one to say, no, that's no good, you can't do this, you can't do that, don't trust this guy, that kind of thing. I like that portrayal of Supergirl. I don't really like the badass portrayal. And then the other aspect of the movie that didn't sit well with me was I didn't care for the direction of the movie. I thought the action sequences were poorly choreographed, poorly directed. It was very, very hard to follow what action was going on, who was where. And one final bad thing, and then I'm going to just give the floor to you guys. I thought the villain was meh. I didn't think Krem was a special villain at all. I didn't really care about him to speak of. Yeah, he was crummy and you wanted him to die, but I didn't find him to be compelling at all.
It looked like he escaped from the Road Warrior.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. So, guys, those were my negatives, and now you can rip me up. Go ahead.
I think let's touch on something that you said, because I think there's a fairness to it. There have been two very different Karas in DC history. So the one that you're mentioning is the one like from her genesis through the Silver Age, through probably the death and crisis on Infinite Earths, is the character that you're talking about. And I love her too. So, I mean, I'm going to openly say that that was a great character. When they brought her back, she was this. To a certain extent. I mean, there was a different attitude to her. They were trying to modernize her. So if you don't fair, if you're like, this version of her, I don't particularly like as much. This has been DC's Kara since the relaunch of her. I loved, straight up to the headband wearing Supergirl days, I loved that version of her too, and I'd watch a movie with her in an instant. So I'm all in on that. The action sequences, though, are something that I want to talk about, because I felt like when they came in, they were a breath of fresh air, because there came a certain point in time, she was so depowered for so long that when we finally got to the point where the sun was shining on her and stuff like that, and we got to see her like do stuff, I'm like, yes, please. I want to see that she's a Kryptonian, and I want to see her do those pieces. They were frantic. They were, you know, action packed, because I think at that point in time, it was, she had to unleash. I think she was frustrated at that point with getting her butt kicked for a long stretch. And I actually quite liked it. I liked like when she was out in space and the sun finally shined on her, and we got to see those sequences. I liked the action quite a bit. It was frantic, though, and I agree with you on that piece, but I sometimes like me some frantic action. And that was, with these characters, I like seeing that they're a different power level than some of the other ones. It's kind of like with the Flash, when they do certain sequences with the Flash, everything moves very quick. And I quite liked the action in this one. Yeah. I might be a minority in it, but the action sequences were, I think, needed when they came in.
I'm on board with the action sequences, how they ran them as well. I liked it. I thought it was a good time. I thought we had some good story development, then some action, some story, some action. And to your point, even the times when she didn't have her powers, that first fight sequence with that one big guy when she didn't have her powers, when she first meets the girl, You know, that was a pretty cool fight sequence with her not having the, you know, Kryptonian powers, you know, and they still showed that she knows how to fight. And to the point of, again, I liked Sweet and Wonderful Supergirl, like the TV show Supergirl, absolutely brilliant. I loved her. But with this character's backstory, there's no way she would be Sweet and golly gee willikers, you know? She watched her mother, her father, everybody she loves slowly die. That right there is going to make you a bit jaded. That's going to make you drink. That's going to make you not want to have any personal connections with anybody. You know, so I can, again, her characterization fit her backstory. And so for me, this was some, you know, I really liked how they handled the flow of the movie.
You're muted, Dave.
Sorry, I was just corresponding with the correspondent here. She has to be the most tragic character in the DC universe, for exactly what Jim was saying. I mean, you know, give it to Batman, he lost his parents, but to lose not just everybody, but to watch it in such a tragic manner and to watch your whole world be taken out. Yeah, I personally prefer the G. Willikers type of Supergirl, but not with that background story. It's just not going to work.
Well, even though I thought the Argo City stuff was the highlight of the film, I still think it could have been written a little differently to give her that innocence. You know, maybe her parents could have shielded her from the horrors of what was going on. I think it could have been done differently to have her character fit. Now, what I'm talking about, though, I understand it goes against the whole film because that's her character arc. She starts off badass. She doesn't care about anybody, and it's because of everything that went on. And then she learns to care because of helping this girl and all of that. So I'm saying I need the story to be written a little differently than it was, which would change the movie at its core. I understand that. I'm not sitting here and saying, oh, just a little tweak on the personality and we could do this differently. It would have to be done very differently. And I'm also conceding that that's just my own personal preference. I'm not going to say the movie is bad because of that. I'm just going to say I prefer my Supergirl to be written that way.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I really think a lot of it was trying to appeal to the somewhat of a girl power, you know, a party girl power type of message. Because that's what resonated with my girl.
The party girl?
Yeah.
The one thing that was a consistency for the film, whether you liked the version or not, on Argo, I did like the fact that she was making the statement to her dad, like, this is the world that I know. Like, she was so, because of her age, there was some kind of like, you're sending me where and what does that look like? I like that she was really reluctant to leave, which I almost think if you're going to go to your point, the more naive route, you almost need to have her younger in order for that to happen, where she's not as invested in the world. Because at that age, I actually liked in Argo that she had some feelings about being tossed in a ship, in a tiny ship with a dog, and sent off. I will say, at Argo and throughout the film, Crypto remains a highlight for me.
Yes.
They have nailed Crypto. Makes me smile no matter what. I loved the introduction. I like that we got an origin of Crypto with her. I'm a Streaky the Cat guy, I got to admit, but I love the super pets and all that type of thing, but Crypto in this, just because they've introduced him into the Superman lore, I thought it was great to have Crypto be a part of the whole Argo storyline. But I did like that, because I'm thinking to myself, you were to toss me in a little bubble right now and send me off into space, you guys may want to do that from time to time, I would have feelings about it, and I liked that she did. I thought that that set an interesting stage on top of all of the loss that we're talking about, that like she wasn't really on board with this from the get-go. And that part I thought was interesting.
It occurred to me while I was watching this, you know, going back to the Superman movie, when she shows up at the end of the movie, she's clearly still a little drunk. And why would she be drunk when she comes to a planet with a yellow sun? Anybody got a no prize for me on that?
I guess it takes a while.
Yeah. Yeah, so it would take a little bit, you know, for her to fully pull in the yellow sun and get the alcohol out and whatnot. And who knows what she was also drinking? You know, there could have been some stuff that would like kill a normal human. So it's super alcohol, you know.
Now, in the comics, because I don't recall ever seeing this, do they have that green sun thing that we were talking about?
That was
in there? Because I don't remember ever seeing that.
No. Yeah, that was a new one on me. I never remember hearing that before.
And then it's a dual sun. It's red, it's yellow and green. And depends on, I guess there's one sun on each side of the planet.
Right.
As it rotates. But that caught me off guard a little bit. And it also just seemed, you know, just scene after scene of her just laying there while stuff is going on. And I don't know, that left me a little flat also.
See, I wonder if the characterization of her being so different was a couple of things. For one, I think it's to differentiate her from Superman, you know, so that even though they're both Kryptonians with essentially the same power set, that, you know, she's not just going to be a watered down version of him, or, you know, the junior kid version of him. She will be her own distinct character. So I think there's a certain amount of that. Plus, you know, in that same train of thought, this is only the second movie in this nascent universe. So we might have gotten the version that we're all, you know, more used to, you know, the sweet, you know, sweethearted light version of the character. Had this been like the sixth, seventh, or, you know, something down the road movie in the series, you know, after we'd gotten Batman and Wonder Woman and Justice League and, you know, everything else to establish the universe, this is the very next movie after Superman. And so I think that's got a lot to do with why she's, you know, such a radically different character than him. Although it does, you know, by the end of the movie, it kind of seems like maybe she's going to fall a little bit more in line with that, you know, because she is embracing the costume. She is back on Earth, spoilers. So there's that. I don't know, there was another train of thought there that derailed, but you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I think so. And I have to give some leeway to, I want to see what comes next. I want to see what Man of Steel brings us, because I'm going to liken this to the MCU a little bit. And when Iron Man 2 came out, it fell under a lot of criticism. And ultimately, I think it was borne out a lot because of what came later and how it related to it. And there may be some of that here that I don't know yet.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily want to give a final opinion on this. I'm providing my opinions on this as a standalone movie, but as part of the greater universe, it may be part of a jigsaw puzzle that'll fit much better than I'm picturing right now.
To the, you know, when we went to see the movie, it's right around the corner, and we walked off, and the girls were asking, you know, well, what was the comic books like originally? And I proceeded to explain. And when I got to the point of she arrives on Earth and Superman puts her in an orphanage, it was like, what? His only living relative, and he's up into an orphanage with you. Good luck with that. So maybe the movie handled it slightly better.
That was the other thought that derailed was, the other thing too, is that, you know, in the comics, when Supergirl came along, by that point, Superman was pushing 21 years of publication, you know, since he had, you know, started in comics. So he was a well-established character and had kind of fallen into that, super dad mold, you know, where he was, you know, the barrel chest, kind of an older guy, that sort of thing. So he was much more of a older father figure to her when she arrives as this perky teen. That doesn't really fit this, you know, movie Superman, the Corin Sweat Superman, because as established in his movie, he's only been doing this for 3 years. So he's brand new at the game too, in a lot of ways. And he's not an older figure. He's not a dad figure. He's still a relatively young guy. So again, I think there was a thought that, you know, I'm presuming anyway, that there was a thought of, we don't just want them to be carbon copies of each other. You know, let's make her a distinct individual with a completely different personality set that just happens to have the same powers. And I don't know, personally, I think they pulled it off. I like where it went. I didn't think I would, but after it all played out, I like where it went. I like that she had a story driven by a lot of personal pain and tragedy and that sort of thing. And I like that, you know, along with the humor and the action, I think one of the things that I haven't heard many people that are, you know, talking about the movie discuss is that I think there was some genuine emotion in this movie. They had me with the dog. When Krypto was in danger, suddenly it's like, okay, you've got my attention. And then suddenly, you know, I could, you know, I mean, who as a dog owner, who couldn't identify with that, you know?
And I felt it was a real threat.
Yeah.
Because we never had the dog in the movies before. It could be very easy to, and Krypto didn't make it.
Right. And I just, they had me there, and, you know, I felt there was genuine emotion when Zor-El, you know, had to give her up, had to send her to Earth. That whole sequence had me seriously choked up. I like his line, you know, where she basically begs him to stay and die in the world that she's known alongside him. And he says something to the effect of, you're our future. I was choking up. As a parent, I could identify with that, you know, yeah, I'd want to put my kid in the lifeboat and send them off, even if it meant I couldn't go too. Yes. I think any parent would want to do that. So I identified a lot with that. I really liked that. I thought that really effectively worked. But it added to her pain and what she was trying to cope with.
And just so you know, Logan, we had to stop your father from doing that.
I'm stuck here.
You know what, Corin Sweat, when you were mentioning him too, I think one of the other things they portrayed real well is the idea that even though he was newer to being Superman, he had been on Earth for his life. So he was his advocate for, this is great, you're going to like this place, and had to keep reaching out to her, like, are you going to come back? Are you going to be here? You're going to love it here. And where she's not buying into it yet. She hasn't sold on Earth.
I thought he was one of the highlights of the movie also.
Oh, I love him.
And the contradiction in how they look at things, the fact that he, you know, was doing exactly what you just said, Sean, and didn't seem to be able to grasp why she wasn't, you know, enjoying it and why she wasn't going in the same way he is. I like that. But I also think, just, you know, to have the to have her be even like more naive than him, and have him be her, you know, teaching her, and have her, you know, have him try and toughen her up with his attitude, I think that could have been a good source of comedy and some emotional scenes as well. So I still kind of grasp on the way I wanted it to be. And again, that isn't a critique of this as a film. That's just a critique of the film I wanted.
Right.
That's one of the hardest things when you look at a movie. If you go into it with expectations of A, B, and C, if you get D, E, F, and G, you're like, I wanted this. And, you know, so you got to sit back and you got to try to figure out what you actually got. And is it something you really wanted to see? And it can be tough. And again, I get what you're saying about what you would want, you know, but it's, you know, I don't know. I really liked what we got.
I did as well.
When she first showed up and he opened up, I mean, because they did these flashbacks, I thought they were really clever. I love that she was speaking fluent Kryptonian, and he had no clue what she was saying. I think one of the things they consistently establish, whether you, and fair if you don't, if it's not your cup of tea or what you wanted with the two of them, but this disconnect in communication between them, like, started right from the get-go. It wasn't just verbal communication. It was his lack of understanding on, you know, she came from Krypton. She came from Argo. She grew up there and does not have the connection to Earth that he does. She has the connection and she wants her planet back. She wants her family back. She wants those people that she lost back. And I'm like, wow, okay, I get where she's coming from here. I want to touch back on the crypto piece really quick, because when we mentioned the dog getting shot, I also love the sequences where she had to leave crypto somewhere with strangers. And it was something she was incredibly uncomfortable with. I just thought that was a great sequence of events. There's certain things that, like, you usually expect, like, an action sequence to blow you away. Her relationship with this dog was something that really hit me, because she uses it, yes, as a way to keep Ruthie there. I think partially because she genuinely wants Ruth watching over the dog, but she also does not want Ruthie coming with her as she goes on her mission to find the cure for crypto. But I love this. She was trying initially to take the dog with her so she could look over crypto, because she didn't want to leave crypto there. It was only they had to say, if you move this dog will not make it, which I added a whole sense of to Dave's point earlier, added this whole sense of the fact that, like, are they going to kill crypto? And I knew where the story went and still was feeling that throughout the film. Like, they better not kill crypto. They better not make a fumble with that, because that would have been the ones I would have a very different conversation going here right now.
As filmmakers, it's much easier to get your audience to be sympathetic to a dog than it is to a person.
Yes.
Right.
You know, I think it was something I was watching on TV or something, but they were talking recently about how young children can relate to, if you tell them a person is going to die, they don't really understand the concept of death. But if you tell them a dog is going to go away, that hits home with them.
Right.
That there is a more fundamental ability to understand and to sympathize immediately. And I think it's because of the innocence of the animals that we get that feeling. But just the same, you know, if they had killed him off, I think that would have been the death knell of this movie. I don't think you'd have your positive impressions had they killed Crypto at the end.
They had this great ability of building that sense of danger, though. When Crypto was coming at us and first took that, even the look on Crypto's face, boy, CGI's come a long way. Because, you know, before it was, that took me out of the film sometimes, because the animals and creatures didn't look real. I'll tell you, Crypto, I want to pet the dog. They've done a really good job of using the dog interactively in these films in a way that, from Superman straight on through to this film, been a highlight of these. And also this is going to seem like a weird thing to say now, because I'm telling you how much I love Crypto. I think taking Crypto out for a little bit kept Crypto from being overused.
Yes.
Because when Crypto was in, especially in the flashback sequences, always charming, never, you know, I mean, Crypto was tearing things apart at certain sequences, always funny. I loved every single use of Crypto in this, and it was not overdone, which was something that I think is a danger with the character, that they didn't do. And I thought that was the balance of Crypto. I thought was just enough of Crypto.
One of the things I also I really liked about this was we had a high body count on people who died throughout this, you know. And again, it added to danger. It added to the thought of, are they going to kill off Crypto? Are they going to do this? Because you look at how, just stop and think how many people died at this. And not even just I'm not even talking the Kryptonians. I'm talking just throughout this process, every time those bad guys hit the scene, people died. there's no if, ands, or buts about it. So I kind of like the I like the death count that we had in this, because again, it adds to the fear.
Now, I'm trying to remember the details of it, but the people who were selling her out at the end, and then she stops the girl from killing Krim, do they die because she stopped him? Stopped her? Do you know what I'm referring to?
Well, yes and no, because if she hadn't stopped her, maybe Krim would have died then, and maybe, because they die after, you know, she stops them. But again, that little girl, there's no way she would have been able to kill Krim. As much as you may not like the guy, he was a very effective killer.
Yeah, he was an effective killer, but he
taken him.
It's almost like they said, "Oh, and he's dealing with you know, trafficking women to you know, to bring, you know, to bear the children for his race, but they don't keep them alive." It's almost like they threw that in as a line to make you hate him more. But they don't really give you anything to work with on him. I just thought he came off as very generic.
He wasn't a detailed character. He wasn't Luther. He wasn't Lex Luthor. You know, and I'm glad he's not going to be an ongoing villain. But it's, you know, again, I think they did a pretty good job showing how and when he was able to keep up with Kryptonian. Because even when she started getting her powers back, he could take a punch. So whatever race he is, he's not as soft and squishy as humans were. So he was able to take a punch, but also he was able to, again, when you're a killer is different than a warrior or a fighter or something. When you're a stone cold killer, you find a way to kill. You find a way to hurt somebody. So you're up against a Kryptonian, you're going to find a way. You're going to improvise, adapt, and overcome, and you're actually going to be a more dangerous type of villain. Now, I agree, he wasn't the best villain in the world. He wasn't a deep, you know, villain. But I did like him as a villain as it went on, because you started seeing the strategy behind
it. Yeah. I also don't want Krim on my lunchbox, but I do like the fact that Krim was using, he knew it was a Kryptonian, had like, he had darts that had kryptonite in them. Like he had things that were giving him an edge when her powers came back. He knew what to do when it came to a Kryptonian. To the point of the outer space thing, if I'm Superman, probably not going to be shopping around in outer space anytime soon, just because it seems like you're really vulnerable out there. A lot of people know how to take out Kryptonians. I did like that Krim had a way, it added a sense of danger to her, but like, she was taking those darts and she kept coming. And I actually really liked seeing that she wasn't, just like dropping and cowering at that moment. I like seeing like a superhero be a superhero in those moments, and I like that she kept on coming. That was also the perfect time to have Lobo come in those sequences as well, because that was I agree with some of the thing, like maybe Lobo didn't have a whole lot to do with the conclusion, but when he came in fight sequences, I really enjoyed seeing him in there, just because he added a certain level of chaos that I really needed at that point in time. Otherwise, how is she going to survive taking those kryptonite darts? But I did like seeing her persevere with all of that, and Krim is, wasn't not my favorite villain, but I also wasn't shedding any tears when they killed him off.
I would have preferred Lobo that killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm out of here. Yeah, that was my thoughts as well. I would have liked if, you know, they were debating the morality of killing him and Lobo just walked up and shot him in the head.
Yes, I liked how they did that. I think I would have felt cheated if Lobo would have walked up and shot. Now, granted, I probably would have chuckled at the moment, but I like why, you know, Kara didn't want that little girl to kill. She didn't want her to have that, you know, that black scar on herself. You know, she didn't want her to, you know, to cross that line. She's willing to cross the line for the girl. You know, so she, that little girl doesn't suffer. You know, doesn't turn the way she turned. You know, and I think that is, for me, I think is a better part of the story. Now, granted, if it would have been funny to see Lobo just walk up and bam and shoot him, I would have chuckled at it. But I think story-wise, I think it was better served how they did it.
I'm going to get a little spoiler about a couple other films. So I'll admit this. If there's one thing about this film that I didn't like, I don't like the choice of Supergirl killing. It's just not. Yep. It's not my cup of tea, but I do like the choice of her saving the girl from doing it. And I like that Ruthie in the end made the choice herself not to do it. I agree that I would have liked to seen Lobo do it just because I think it would have been a cool way to do it. But, using similar examples, I love Batman Begins. Don't love the choice to, I don't have to kill you, you know, that type of thing. I'm like, I know you're Batman. Yes, you got to save. You know, I mean, I don't have to save you. That whole line in the bit, that I have an issue with that part in Batman Begins. And Man of Steel, the Zod sequence, I have trouble with that too. I don't like seeing that with these particular characters, but that's a pet peeve of mine. But that didn't ruin this film for me. It's just one of those things where I did not need Supergirl to make that choice. I get why she did, though, and I actually agree with you, Jim. I get why she did it, but I would have preferred Lobo too.
I would have, just because I feel like with everything that she said to the little girl, and then she turns around and kills the guy, it feels like it undermines her argument to the girl why she shouldn't kill the guy when she just turns around and kills the guy for her, essentially. So, yeah, I wish it had been someone else, you know, Lobo or someone else, or just handled it a different way.
And she's not a killer up to that point.
Right.
She hadn't killed any. You know, if it was like, well, you know, I fought in the war and I killed X, Y, and Z. Okay, what, one more? But this is her first shoot, so that's why I have a problem.
I think his dialogue is one of the reasons why she had to. I mean, I think they tried to justify it, and I think the dialogue was good. I mean, like, he was going to keep coming after Ruthie, and I mean, he was very clear off of that. So Supergirl had to make the choice. I just would have preferred, that would have been a great moment for Lobo to just walk up and go, no, you won't.
Right.
I mean, they could have made that like a, and would have given a Lobo a great line. I mean, there could have been like, he could have stuck him and done the typical action movie.
If you do that just right, it comes off as the way Indiana Jones shot the guy.
Right. Yes. That's exactly where I was going.
Turned around and said to Supergirl, I'm not going to.
Yes.
Right. That said, though, I have absolutely no problem with him dying because you guys were discussing how he's not a particularly deep villain or anything. I didn't need him to be. From the moment he shot Crypto, I just wanted the guy dead. Yeah. At that point, I was like, you shot a dog, I want you dead.
Yeah.
So when he finally gets his at the end, I was like, okay, good. I didn't need anything more from him at that. At that point, he's already chalked up in the scumbag category to me, so he's got to die.
I'll be honest. Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with him dying. My problem is I just didn't find him to be a compelling villain. You know, he was creepy enough and, you know, easy to hate, but he felt very two-dimensional to me.
And I'd be willing to bet that, that Supergirl has killed before. That wasn't her first kill. Now, just because, again, this is a little bit different. She doesn't have the Superman no-kill code going on, you know, and especially in some of those fight sequences when she's beaten up on some of those other bad guys, you know, there's a good chance some of them could have not survived as well. But, you know, again, for me, it fits the character they're laying out, you know, that she would take a life, you know, and the reason she took the life was, you know, what the mom said, you know, just because you're good, you don't have to be nice about it or something. You know, that line that her mom gave her, you know, it's the same kind of mindset. You know, she's doing something good, but she's not doing it in the nice way. She's not doing it in the Clark way. She's, you know, got to kill this guy because he needs to die.
Right.
Now, I didn't again, I did have some issues with the direction of it and how it was, I guess, the direction slash editing of it, the action sequences. But I did really like, and I thought it was very clever, and I don't know if it's from the original comic or if it's something they came up with for this, but I liked the transporter aspect to the fight scene on the bus or train or whatever that was supposed to be. I thought that was pretty cool.
I liked that entire sequence. There was a lot of this movie, and I mean a lot of it, but it really, I think the thought first occurred to me during the whole space bus part, that I just kept finding myself thinking, man, why can't Star Wars be more like this? Because I thought they really nailed a look that Star Wars used to have and somehow forgot to have anymore. You know, that gritty, lived-in cosmic world. I'm with Dave. I'm not the biggest fan of you know, the superhero off in space thing. But when it's done well, it's done well. And I thought this was done extremely well, that at least the cosmic environment that she was operating in was believable and it felt lived in. It wasn't all gleaming spaceships with, you know, blinking lights. It was a gritty, lived-in world. And I really liked that. I thought that in a lot of ways, this out Star Wars Star Wars in some aspects. The bus itself was basically made up of, you know, a more modern version of the creature cantina from the original Star Wars. And I thought that was damn well done. I really enjoyed that. And so I liked the environment quite a bit. I thought they did a good job with that. And that fight scene was really cool. Although I kept wondering why, if she's using a transporter on random, why did it never transport her outside? Everything was within the bus, even though it kept putting her, like, you know, she wound up under the ass of some alien creature at one point. She wound up under the seat. She wound up in all these weird positions, but never once, like, half in, half out of the thing, or, you know, entirely out of the thing. Everything was self-contained. So I thought that was a little bit odd, but still it was cool.
All right. Any other key points on this before we get to the score?
Ruthie and her family, I want to talk about just very quick. I think the death of her family and the way that they went down, I thought was pretty critical, because you needed that person for her to connect with that she had sympathy for. Like, for as much as she was pushing Ruthie away, you could tell she kept caving in to, like, protecting Ruthie, and ultimately wound up doing what Ruthie wanted of her, even though it did, and it was trying to set Ruthie on a path. I actually liked that Ruthie went traveling with her at a certain point in time, because Supergirl was softening a bit. And I think seeing some, like, looking in the mirror at Ruthie, if that makes any sense, was something that I think was a kind of a critical point for me in this. I enjoyed that part. I felt like there was a reason why these two were together, and I think it helped soften Supergirl and help open her mind towards, maybe I should give this Earth thing a shot. Maybe I should, you know, try to listen to Clark a little bit more, which is where I'm hoping this is going. At the end, it felt that way. And if that's not a part of this journey, I think that there's a missed opportunity, because that's, I wanted to see her at the end grow as a character.
Yeah. And with Ruthie's family getting killed, you know, that's a standard storytelling element of it. And I'm glad we got to see it, you know, because, again, it did add to Krem's evilness, showing how he slaughtered and didn't need to, because they were giving him everything he wanted. You know, so, again, it adds to a little bit of his evilness. And, again, I'm not defending, saying he's the great. He's not Lex Luthor. 100% not a great villain like Lex was, but I still did enjoy him. I enjoyed watching him, you know, get his butt kicked, and I enjoyed the ending of it, because I thought that was kind of satisfying to see him go down.
And then I also found it kind of different the way they did it with the little brother trying to scare her, and that's how they ended up getting slaughtered because of that. I thought that was an interesting touch that they threw into that scene. So, you know, yeah, it's the character of Krem is despicable because of the things he does, but I don't think we see enough of the character to hate him personally. It's just like, oh, I hate somebody who would do these things.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's where it reminds me of in Thor: The Dark World, when was it Christopher Eccleston felt wasted a little bit, that they didn't give his character enough to really be a meaty role. So I would have liked to have seen a little bit more there. Scott, give me your take on the score.
I haven't had a chance to listen to it apart from the movie. I'm still trying to acquire a copy of the score, but I remember feeling like it worked effectively for the film. It's one of those things where I'd really have to see the movie again and concentrate much more on it, but I don't remember anything that felt jarring or anything that didn't seem like it fit the scenes it was in. I'm not familiar at all with this particular composer that I'm aware of anyway. So, you know, I thought it was effective.
Yeah, that would kind of be my opinion as well. It didn't really stand out to me. The only points where it stood out was when they kind of had the little touches of the Superman theme from the most recent Superman movie, not the John Williams.
Right.
But I you know, like that was when it caught my ear a little bit, and I was like, oh, I hear that. Otherwise, it did its purpose, I think. It helped us move along in the movie, but it didn't really stand out very much to me. So, anything else before we rate it?
I think actually the final big fight scene, I liked that song. I don't know what it was. I don't remember it, but I kind of remembered it was a different type of music. It wasn't like your don 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 don, you know, but it was still an action sequence going on. I like that about the fact that they didn't go with a heavy-handed, you know, music when she was having that massive battle sequence going through all, you know, just tearing through those guys. You know, I thought that I kind of liked that. And again, the usage of the Superman theme, I did enjoy that. When they popped it in, they're like, oh, okay, you smile, yes, because you hear it, you know. But it's a solid, I think this was a good solid score, because again, they didn't go with, you know, with what, you know, you're expecting, you know, especially like how, you know, Superman, I absolutely loved that score, you know, because I like a little bit of the punk rock side. I liked how they brought that into it. So they didn't go punk rock with her. They went other ways. And I thought that kind of fit how they're doing her a little bit differently.
That's fair. So I guess ultimately my take on this movie was, it was enjoyable. I'm glad I saw it. But there were a lot of points where I just felt like it fell short for me. I don't know. I'll probably rewatch it at some point, but I'm not feeling particularly anxious that I need to see it soon. I'm going to give it a Jaws 3 for me. It's not, you know, and that's not to say it's a bad movie. And I sometimes I have fear that saying Jaws 3 means I'm saying it's bad. Jaws 4 is bad. Jaws 3 is still a watchable, entertaining movie. And that's where I think this fell. I don't think it's a movie that's going to make me want to rewatch it over and over again. I think it's going to just kind of get lost into the ether for me. And unless, as I said, with the future DC Universe movies coming out, if they start giving me a little bit more meat from this, and building from this, then I might feel the need to go back to it. But otherwise, right now, as a standalone film, it's a Jaws 3 for me.
This one, I saw it a second time, not because I had to for this. I didn't feel any urgency. I really wanted to see it a second time. I had a lot of fun with it the first time through. This was a great summer film. And I'm frustrated on this one, not because this conversation, this has been a great conversation, actually, and I I kind of love hearing where everybody's at on this one. I think where I'm frustrated for this film in particular is I think some of this film's pathway was predetermined this summer, unfortunately. And I feel like we're heading more into that phase where sometimes the buzz on a film is tracking it a certain way instead of people actually viewing it and seeing it. I thought this was a really fun summer movie. I really liked where she was going. I'm glad that it picked up from the end of Superman and gave her a journey, because I wouldn't have wanted her left where she was at the end of Superman. I wanted to see this character grow. And I felt like at the end of this movie, I got what I wanted. I wanted to see Kara's journey. The surprising parts was her background. You know, Argo and all that stuff, I really loved. And I love me some Crypto in all of this. I was rooting for Crypto to be saved. And as a journey of this movie, like her trying to rescue her dog, I was totally buying into all of that. Jason Momoa is Lobo. I hope that this isn't the end of that, because I would like to see him again, just because I thought he was great at it. So this one was a Jaws 2 for me. I saw it a second time. I want to own it. Superman has a major edge on this one for me. Was seeing it the second time, I'm convinced of that. I think maybe just because of a different kind of fun factor, but I'm gladly going to watch this one again and again. I enjoyed the ride and I enjoyed the journey.
I'm going to be right in there with Paul as a very high Jaws 3. It was a fun movie, but for me, what it's on my viewing, it suffers from, I enjoy Superman so much that I came out of there, I couldn't wait to see it again. I don't have that with this. It was an entertaining movie. Crypto was by far my favorite part of it. Like I said, I'm not into the whole superhero in space, so it lost something for me, but it's by no means a bad film. It's a very watchable and enjoyable movie.
For me, this is a solid Jaws. You know, I absolutely love this movie. You know, and again, I'm excited to see it again. I wasn't able to see it again today because I had a bunch of stuff happening, but I'm excited to see it again. You know, and I'm excited to see how this goes forward in the next Superman movie. Because in my head, the next Superman movie is going to have a bigger presence of Supergirl. And I think we're actually maybe going to see some Lobo action going on in Superman. Yeah, I'm hoping. Because again, I liked Lobo. I liked the usage of Lobo. I thought that was a very fun, just a good, you know, a good job with bringing him in and how they used him. So for me, I'm excited for this project. I'm excited for the future projects. And my much, much, much older brother, Bill, was in agreement with me on that. He also said, hey, it's a Jaws for me. So I just got to throw that out there. So my brother, Bill, who will be celebrating his 70th birthday this year. You know, I do, you know, as I said, much older, you know, 70, happy 70th birthday, brother Bill. If anybody sees him, make sure you wish him a happy 70th birthday.
Logan.
I will say that everyone pretty much already touched on the points that I was going to say myself. My biggest issues with the movies are the movie itself are mostly just nitpicks. Like, I felt like she was constantly weakened. And they did it enough times to literally make me roll my eyes in the theater. It was like they found every way to do it. But otherwise, like, I still enjoyed it. Despite, like, I agree that the villain is a little weak and a little forgettable. I enjoyed her and her story. I like her origin and everything that she goes through throughout the movie. Like, she was the most enjoyable part for me, and Crypto, of course. Everyone else just seems a little forgettable to me. I think one of the highlights to me was every single time that I saw David Corin Sweat's Superman on screen just gave me a big smile. And as for her story, there were a couple moments in there that choked me up with it, so I would rank it a solid Jaws 2. I want to see it again. I hope that my opinion changes and I end up liking it even more than I do already. But Jaws 2 for me.
I seriously dug this. As I said before, I went in with very low expectations. All of my criticisms would be extreme nitpicks. Probably the biggest one is that I was not a fan of the light switch effect. And what I mean by that is, as soon as she went from one environment to a yellow sun, then instantly her powers kicked right in to an effect that she instantly had heat vision. That was kind of my continuity brain getting in the way, because I'm more used to, in the post-crisis universe with, you know, with John Byrne's reinvention of Superman, it took Superman time to build up that energy within his body over constant exposure to the yellow sunlight and everything. So this light switch effect with her powers kept hitting that brain, you know, that part of my brain. But once I realized that even though she's a very modern woman, that the rest of the film is very Silver Age-y, I really liked that. Once I made that connection, then I really started to dig on the film. And I never expected to get a literal adaptation of the Argo story, with Argo City actually falling under a dome and surviving the destruction of Krypton. And to see that done on the big screen and done so well and so totally believable, at least, you know, to my comic book sensibilities, that, I mean, it was stuff like that that won me over. I mean, I really felt like, you know, despite the changes to the character, that this was for comic book people. And I appreciated it on that level. I really enjoyed the movie a lot. I like Logan. I want to go see it again. And I think this is one, like Superman, that is just going to continue to grow on me over time. And I think I'm just going to like it better with each subsequent rewatch. But at this time, you know, walking out of the theater, it's a solid Jaws 2 to me. I really, really dug it a lot. And, you know, the biggest thing I wanted to say in this recording is that, man, I'm seeing some serious negativity directed to this movie online. Man, if you haven't given it a chance, if you haven't gone to see it, if you're just listening to everybody else that's dogging on the movie online, go see it for yourself, especially if you liked Superman, if you loved Superman, and especially if you are, like me, very, very happy that the prior DC Cinematic Universe finally bit the dust and don't ever want to see that shit come back, go support this movie, please. Because, like Jim said, I'm very excited for the future of this. I hope we get more. I thought Superman was a fantastic film that really serviced that character well. And I want to get more and more and more. And I'm worried now that if this movie truly is the bomb that they're portraying it as, that puts all of that future stuff in jeopardy. And that would be a damn shame. So please, you know, give the movie a chance. I mean, most of us really liked it.
All right. I guess that's it. You know, we have different opinions, but, you know, nobody in this room said, oh, it was terrible to watch it or anything like that.
Right.
So I agree with you. It's a worthwhile movie to support. And, you know, I loved Superman. I thought that was great. I'm not even the big negative on the prior DC universe. There were things that I liked. I actually enjoyed the movie Man of Steel. But, you know, what can I
say? Are we friends?
I wonder that myself. But, you know, there were things I enjoyed there and there were things that I didn't like. But, nothing that they did in that era compared to the Superman movie we got last year. So I'm definitely on board with what you're talking about there. So let's support this. I agree. And we'll work from there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you guys for coming on. Really appreciate it. And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Hi there.
Aikalata.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't speak Kryptonian. I never... Shoot. I wasn't raised there, so... I wasn't raised there. Why am I talking louder? Let me help you.
It's Kryptos Fura, Nini.
It's a feisty little guy.
It's cute. Is it okay if I... Watch your step there. Might be slippery, so... Ah, yeah. Pretty cool, huh? Don't worry, we don't actually live here. There's a lot more to Earth than just this place. Big city, lots of stuff to do, and you'll also learn to love this place, just like I have. Promise.
It's Mickey Green, yeah.
Oh, should mention. Your powers are gonna start kicking in right about now.